In today's Mishnah, we're in the fifth and sixth Mishnah from the first Parak Masechta Gittin. And in yesterday's Mishnah, in the second Mishnah, we saw one law that is equal in the laws of Gittay Nashim, meaning documents through which divorce is affected, and also Gittay Shichror, Shichror Avadim. So when it comes to documents through which a servant is set free. And that was with respect to the law that the messenger has to say Bifanei Nechta, Bifanei Nechtan, if he came from, say, overseas, or he went to overseas to deliver the document. Here, Mishnah continues. Kol get sheyesh alav ed kuti. Any document that has a kuti as one of the witnesses, we say is pasul. Now, we've discussed the kutim a number of times in the Mishnahs, and we've discussed them as being a group of people that converted, and the nature of the conversion was suspect. So, therefore, some Tanaim said they were real converts, some say they were actually geri arayot, they weren't real genuine converts, and again, as time went on, we discovered they were still worshipping the original Avodah Zarah, and therefore they were treated as not really being Jewish. However, for a period, it was known that certain halachas they were very, very particular with, and other laws they completely disregarded. And that's why they come up every so often in Mishnayot. So in this respect, the Mishnah says, if one of the signatures on the document is that of a kuti, most documents we say that it's considered pasul. Why? Because they were suspected of being very ready to accept money in order to provide false testimony and simply sign on anything. However, there's two exceptions, so that's why we're bringing the Mishnah now. Chutz migitei nashim v'shichur avadim. So the documents which a woman is divorced or an eved is free, if you have the signature of a kuti on it, the document is valid. So the Gemara explains this is only really when we only have one signature, and that signature precedes the signature of a kosher ed. Why is that? That is because the kosher ed would not have signed the document after the kuti unless he knew that this kuti really was expert in the laws of Gittin and a kosher witness. However, if it's other way around, meaning that Israel signs first, or there were, say, two kutim, that even in the world of Gittin, Nashim, Shuchar, Avadim, the get would be pasul. However, why is it that if Israel's signature follows that of a kuti, that with respect to other documents, is it still considered valid? That is because since they don't have to be present at the same time and sign at the same time, it's possible that Israel signed at the bottom of the document, and then this document was taken to a kuti later, and he wrote above it. Let's now continue with the same Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Maaseh she'aviu lefnei Rabban Gamliel lekfar otnai." So a get was brought for on Gamliel, and it was a get isha, v'ayu eidav eide kutim. In that case, they had two kutim that were the signatories. So we say, "V'hichshir," and he said it was kosher. Why? Because according to Rabban Gamliel, he felt, or he had the position, that they were expert in the laws of Gittay Nashim and Gittay Shechor. Let's continue. Kol hashtarot ha'olim ba'arkot shel goyim. Anytime you have a document that comes to the civil courts, then we say, afal pi shechotmehem goyim, despite the fact the signatures on the document are those of goyim, of non-Jews, the document will still be kasher. Why? Because when it comes to the nature of those documents, the document itself is only a raya, brought as a proof to the kinyan, and they're not actually affecting the kinyan. However, that would be chutz migitei nashim v'shichur avadim. The exception to that is, once again, divorce documents and documents through which an eved is set free. That is because in that situation, the document is not simply a proof or evidence to the actual divorce occurring, of the servant being freed, but rather it's through the document itself. That is what is affecting the divorce or causing the eved to be free. Therefore, we need kosher witnesses. And specifically also, it's not the document that was formed in a arkot shel goyim. On this point, Rabbi Shimon says, no, af eluk sherim, it would still be fine even if the signatures on them were that of goyim. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the Eidei Chatima are not the critical witnesses that affect the divorce, rather it's what's called the Eidei Mesira, meaning the witnesses that are present when the husband hands over the get. They're the critical witnesses. Consequently, even if the signatures on the document themselves are goyim, then it would be a problem as long as those witnesses, the handing of the get, were actually kosher witnesses themselves. Kahati here adds that it's provided that the names on the document are clearly non-Jewish names, because otherwise we'd be concerned that if it were simply names that could be taken either way, that people would start assuming these individuals are actually Jewish based on the fact they signed this document. So it says, Lo huzkuru, when they mention the Beit Midrash, that a get is pasul, if it has those names, Ela bezman she'na'asul behedyot. It's only a situation where it was done begoyim hedyot, meaning not in a court, but rather simply done informally. In that situation, the concern is that since it's not recognizable that it was done in the court system, people might think that they can rely, this is the way Kahati explains it, that they can rely on the Edim that on the signature without having to find or rely on the Edei Mesira, the witnesses, that were present at the handing over. However, if it was done in Arkaot, if it was drawn up in the civil court, since it's well known that it's Shel Goyim, then people would not simply validate this get based on the signatures inside it. They would have to find the witnesses that were present when in its handing over. Let's now learn Mishnah Vav. Mishnah says, Ha'omer ten get zel ishti. Someone says, give this get to my wife. Here, ten could also mean zachi, meaning I want you to, the way the Gemara understands it, meaning I want you to receive it for my wife. Or shtar shichur zel avdi, take this document to free my eved. Then imratza lachzor, if he wants to retract the shneim, then he can go back on it. Havah chachamim say, no, begitin ashim, that's fine. Aval lo b'shichur avadim. That's not the case, shichur avadim. Why? Lefisha zachin la'anam shalom b'fanav v'nchavim la'anam shalom b'fanav. In other words, the reason why, when he handed over the get, according to Rabbi Meir, the wife isn't divorced or the eved isn't freed, is because they weren't nominated as a shaliach by the wife or the eved to receive the get for them. So consequently, it cannot be considered as if it's already reached them. However, there is one situation, even if you're not nominated shaliach, you can still act as a shaliach for someone. But that is in session when we say it's zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. That is when what you're doing is objectively a benefit to them. So according to Rabbi Meir, both situation, it would be a chov for both of them. Why? Because in the context of marriage, while still an eved, they're being completely supported. If we would say that it would be effective for this shaliach to receive it and then be effectively divorced or freed, they would be losing out all those mezonot on that support. So Chachamim disagreed. They say, yes, that's true by Gitei Nashim, but b'shichrurei avadim, as soon as they receive it, the eved can be set free, because it would be considered a merit for him to be set free objectively, full stop. And what about the fact that the mezonot? Well, it says, no, mezonot are considered as chut for him while he's still there, because even while he's still an eved, the master could say, shimer tzeshel alazonat abda rasha, he can say, look, I'm not going to support you without giving you any food. Consequently, the fact that he's being supported is not considered a schut, a merit for him, a benefit for him, while he's still an eved. So therefore, let's to go back again. According to Chachamim, as soon as the Baal says, take this from my servant, here's the get shichror, as soon as he received it, according to Chachamim, it is considered a schut. So therefore, he's acting as a shliach, if you like, for the eved, and the eved is set free. It's too late, the husband cannot go back on it, even though the eved hasn't actually physically received the document yet. So contrast this when it comes to Vashulalism, that we can't supply the same logic for the wife because the husband cannot say, look, I'm not going to support you anymore. In Rashai. So Rabbi Meir comes back and says, 1 second, Amar Lehem, Harei hu posel et avdo min ha-truma, kishu posel et ishto. You're forgetting another schud for the Eved. If the Eved is a Eved of a Kohen, then while he's still an Eved, he's able to eat truma. Even if the master says, look, I don't want to give you any food anymore, being an eved of a kohen, he'll be able to eat truma. So what about, does that schut? So how can you say, quite clearly, zachi shalom ufadav, by receiving this get, he'll be a schut for the eved and he's set free. So Amrullah Chami said back to him, no, mibnei shu kinyan no. Meaning, the way Bartanur explains it as follows. You know, the fact that he can eat truma is not a male, it's not considered a schut for him while he's there. It's simply, the only reason why he can eat truma is because he is considered the kinyan, considered a property, much like any of his other property. Even animals can eat truma. So it's not considered a schut that he would necessarily be losing. So therefore, since there's no schut he'd be losing, mezonot is not because it can be forgone, and we're saying that the fact that he can eat truma is not considered schut for him because he's only having it by way of being a kinyan. Therefore, it is objectively now, according to Chachamim, a schut for him to be freed. And therefore, this person receives it. As soon as the master said, take this for my eved, the eved is set free immediately, and he can't go back on it. And we said that wouldn't apply for a get, gerisha. What if someone says, ha'omer t'nu get zel ishti u'shtar shichru zel avdi v'met? In this situation, he's not saying accept. He's saying, I want you to act as a shaliach to take it either to my wife or to my eved, to divorce the wife or free the eved. U'met, and then he dies before the get reaches the hand of the wife or the eved. In that situation, we say, lo yitnu lachar mita, it's too late. You cannot give the get after the husband's passed away. Why? Because the actual divorce and the freeing of the eved has to be done while the husband or master is still alive. And that would only be effective in this situation, since the shliach is acting as a shliach to take it to them once it hits their hands. And since that would be occurring after his death, it's too late. What if it says, Tnu maneh le'ish ploni? What if it's a financial matter? If someone's a shchiv mera, this person's on his deathbed, and he says, I want you to give a certain amount of money to this individual, and he dies before the money reaches his hand. In that situation, we say, no, yitnu lachar mita would be given. Why? Because we say divrei shchiv mera k'ktuvim k'musurim dami, that the instructions of a shchiv mera, someone who's on his deathbed, the instructions alone are considered as if they're being written down, already handed over. So it's considered as if in his lifetime, and when it comes to this financial matter, has already received the sum of money. Those are the Mishnah today.